Wendy, thank you very much for that. Hello, let me add my welcome to David's this morning. Very nice to see you. There is a line which runs through this building, and we can't see it. But it is as real as the walls that surround us and as the roof that is above us. And this line, snaking between even the seats, divides us into one of two camps. Wise people and foolish people. It has no regard whether you're a man or a woman, whether you're old or young. It's got nothing to do with how much you earn, where you live, your education, your class, even your race. All of those things are completely incidental to where this line threads its way between us. Both types of people are here. Both types of people have heard Jesus' teaching from the scriptures read this morning, the wise and the foolish. And the terrible thing is, while we all long to be on team wise, there's a very real danger that we might be fools. So let me put this uncomfortable and unpopular question to you. Are you a fool here this morning? Jesus is incredibly black and white in the last section of the Sermon on the Mount. He's at his diversive best, if you like. He says all of us are on one of two roads, the broad, easy road that leads to destruction, or the narrow road that leads to life. All of us are one of two types of tree, the good tree that bears good fruit, the bad tree that bears bad fruit and is destined for the fire. And he says all of us are either wise or foolish. So let me pray that God would show us which camp we're in and that we would respond rightly to his word. Oh, Father, it's very stark, very black and white, as your son teaches. Please, would you help us to hear what he's saying? And please, would you help us to discern which of these two builders we are? We pray we might be wise. We pray we might be given strength to obey by your Spirit. Amen. Please do keep Matthew chapter 7 open on page 972 is the bit we're looking at. The frightening thought is you could be a fool here this morning. I could be a fool here this morning. Because fools look the part. You notice that, I'm sure, from Jesus' story. Fools look the part. Let me read from verse 24. Just glance down at it there. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. There's a house built. Then verse 26. But everyone who does not hear these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. There's a house built. There are two houses built in this story. This isn't the parable between the well-built house and the badly built house. No, it's a parable of the wise and foolish builder. But there are two houses built. Both houses had doors that fit into the door frames. They had good, straight, square walls. The plumbing worked. The electricity was fine in both houses. You and I might have bought either one of those houses. They look the part, fools. They look like they're not fools. Here's the thing that's caused me to stop this week. Are you ready for it? Fools read the Bible for themselves at home regularly. I want to say, reading the Bible for yourself at home regularly is a brilliant thing to do. The challenge is Jesus says it's possible to do it and still be a fool. Both the wise and foolish people in this parable hear the words of Jesus. Do you see now why that line snakes its way in between individual seats here in church? It's tempting to think that the wise and foolish people, the line runs somewhere else, that the line runs around this building, and that we're the wise people. And as we walk into this building to hear what Jesus had to say, we're acting wisely. And smugly and self-righteously, we think, yeah, that would be better. And then all those people out there in bed, going to the shops, going to the car boot sale, they're the fools. Well, I want to say it's a brilliant thing to be here on a Sunday morning. Don't stop coming, please. It's a brilliant thing to hear Jesus' word read and preached Sunday by Sunday. But the challenge of this parable is that the line runs through the seats here. The fool and the wise person hear Jesus' words. Fools look the part. They sing the songs. They smile at the vicar on the way out. They might even give money to the church. They do all that, and yet in Jesus' words, they are still a fool. So I have to ask you, are you a fool? Are you a fool here this morning? The thing is, fools are fools because they don't act on what Jesus says. They don't act on what they hear. You'll notice the difference between the wise and the foolish person in Jesus' parable. The words of Jesus just wash over the fool. They make no discernible difference in the fool's life. Let's have a look again at verses 24 and 26. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Now, I hope you'd agree that if I went and strolled out into the high street and stood there and watched as Neil Hunter in his bus came down the high street, that would be a foolish thing to do. It would be an even foolisher, that isn't an English word, is it? Even more foolish thing to do if, having seen Neil approaching in his bus, I then heard him beeping the horn and saying, "Rory, you're a dangerous cyclist, get out of the way," and did nothing. If, which I'm sure he would never do, Neil clobbered me with his bus, you would say, "Well, Rory had it coming. He's a fool to just stand there while I beat my horn in the middle of the road." No one would dispute that. It's not a hard thing to imagine. Well, I hope it is a hard thing to imagine. It's not a hard thing to imagine you saying that that's a foolish thing to do. And yet, Jesus says, those of us who hear his word and do not act are fools, just like me if I stood in the middle of the road. Fools agree with what Jesus says. Fools agree with the teaching of the Sermon on the Mount. They say, "Yes, Jesus, it's dangerous for me to put my hope in the things that I own." They nod their head sagely, and then they go home, and they turn on ITV on a Saturday evening with their lottery tickets, waiting and hoping and wishing that their number will come up. Or they turn first in the newspaper to the financial section and worry, is now a good time to be in banking? Should I be selling the tourist companies that I own? Is now a good time to do that? That consumes about an hour of their morning each day, even though they agree with what Jesus says. They hear Jesus' teaching about how if you look lustfully at someone who you're sexually attracted to, that is committing adultery with them. They say, "Yes, Jesus. Yeah, that's wise." And they go home and turn on Love Island. They hear Jesus' teaching about not worrying And rather than praying, Lord Jesus, please help me not to worry, they go home and draw up lists and spreadsheets and plans so every single eventuality that could happen either at home or at work is completely covered. And then they worry that they've forgotten something. I wonder how you're feeling. You see, I'm a bit nervous at this point because actually I read quite a lot of Jesus' word. I hear him speaking to me quite a lot. And I'm thinking, am I a fool? Here's a question that I found helpful. When was the last time Jesus spoke to you and you did something about it? When was the last time you heard Jesus' word and it made a difference to something you did do or something you didn't do? Something you did think or something you didn't think? To something you did feel or something you didn't feel? When was that? When was the last time you heard Jesus challenge you on forgiveness and you went out and you rang your estranged brother? When was the last time you heard Jesus talk about controlling your tongue and you thought, okay, well, this Monday morning I'm not going to join in with the bitch fest in the office at coffee time. I'm just not going to do that. Because if the answer is never, if you can really never think of a time when something that Jesus has said has made a difference to the way in which you have acted, then I ought to ask myself, am I the fool that Jesus is talking about here? And make no mistake, being a fool is disastrous. Have a look down, please, at verse 27. The rain came down, the streams rose, the wind blew again, and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Being a fool is eternally catastrophic. Eternally catastrophic. The rain, the streams, the wind that beat against these two houses are shorthand for the storm of God's judgment. They're shorthand for the day when you and I will stand before the Lord and give an account for how we've lived our lives. There'll be no hiding on that day. And that day will reveal who are the wise and who are the foolish. The storm reveals the foundation. It reveals how the house has been built. And it shows how disastrous it is to have not acted on the words of Jesus. You see, then it will be too late for us to change our ways. Then it will be too late for us to act on what Jesus says. When you're in the middle of a hurricane, Hurricane Dorian perhaps, it is too late to go out and start boarding up your property, isn't it? The time to do it is before the hurricane arrives. And you see those photographs, don't you, of American interstates, I think that's what they call them, isn't it? There's nothing on one side, and on the side of leaving the state, it's just bumper to bumper, people getting out of danger. That's the time to act before the hurricane arrives. Before the hurricane arrives, you get your chipboard and your hammer and your nails, and you go and cover your windows to stop things being smashed. You don't wait till the hurricane's there and then try and step outside with a big bit of chipboard. You'll be blown into eternity. Likewise, it will be on the last day, in the storm of God's judgment, that we find out whether we've been wise and foolish. But it will be too late to change then. So get ready for the storm now. Prepare now. The foolish builder, with his house lying around his ankles, doesn't start digging foundations. And we can't start putting Jesus' word into practice as we stand before him in the final judgment. Now, sometimes we get just a little taste of that final judgment that comes forward into our lives. Some tragedy provokes us. We face a personal calamity. There's a terrible diagnosis. There's the death of someone we love. We lose our jobs. Whatever it is, there's a bitterness comes into our lives, and we at those points want to listen to how our heart responds and think, am I being wise or foolish here? Because if actually the way in which I respond doesn't line up very well with Jesus' teaching, I might want to think, I've got chance to change before the final judgment, before the final storm. Because if we don't discover until too late that we are fools, until we die, it will be disastrous. So please, examine yourselves. Ask the Lord. Say, Lord, am I the fool in this parable? Does your word make any difference to my life? Do I put into practice the things that you say to me? Please help me to do that. Please show me whether I'm a wise person or a foolish person. Do that. Do that today. Do that this afternoon. Sit down with a cup of tea before you turn on the telly, before you pick up the book or the newspaper. Ask God to show you. As I try and wrap this up, let me ask you, what have you made of Jesus' teaching? The last 12 weeks, we've been looking at the Sermon on the Mount. He's been addressing us, hasn't he? Probably 6, 7, maybe 8 hours, some of us will have sat there and heard the Lord Jesus speak to us. Now, here's the thing about the Sermon on the Mount. I don't think it's actually difficult to understand. Sometimes there are bits of the Bible that we have read and we have preached where there are extraordinary customs. You think that's very odd. There are incredible names of people and you're left working out, was he the emperor? Was he the friend of the emperor? And whose side is he on again? Well, there's none of that in the Sermon on the Mount, is there? It's very direct, very clear, very black and white. Mostly, you and I have been able to leave this building and know exactly what it is that Jesus is calling us to do, to think, to be, in the remaining 129 waking hours we have of the week. So what have you made of this teaching? Because Matthew adds this fascinating little summary right at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, right at the end of the passage we've been looking at with the wise and the foolish builders. And he's really saying to us, here is why you should be putting into practice what Jesus says. Look down with me at verses 28 and 29. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowd were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority, not as their teachers of the law. Jesus has authority. It isn't just that his teaching is profound and moving and direct, although I think it's all of those things. No, he has authority. He doesn't teach with a sort of a, well, on the one hand, it's what some people think. On the other hand, it's what other people think. Go and choose. Make your mind up. There you go. You know, pick one you like. What fits best with you? No. He teaches as someone with authority. When Jesus speaks, God speaks. And when God speaks, you're a fool if you don't listen and put into practice what he says. We know that in our lives, don't we? We know how we respond when someone in a position of authority speaks to us. And if we have any sense, we do what they say. When my children say to me, oh, Daddy, didn't I go on? I do take that on board, actually. I think, well, yeah, maybe I did go on a bit. I'm sorry, it was perhaps a bit long. If tomorrow morning in staff meeting, the staff are gathered round and David says to me, Rory, as your boss, I want your sermon to be 5 minutes shorter next week. Well, you're all getting to have lunch 5 minutes earlier. That's how it works with someone in a position of authority. That's right, and that's good. It's not that someone who isn't in a position of authority is never worth listening to, but when someone who has authority says something, you do it, don't you? Policeman says, stop the car. You stop the car. That's just how it works, isn't it? So when Jesus, someone in a position of authority, says, don't just hear my words, put them into practice, how foolish do you have to be not to? I said I was trying to finish. I really nearly am, I promise. The Bible is a dangerous book to read because in it we hear the words of Jesus and we're left with the challenge. How will I respond to what he says? Will I put them into practice? Or will I just carry on? church is a dangerous place to come to. Because by joining a church, we declare publicly, I'm with Jesus, and I will do what he says. We're saying, I am building my life on his word. So one last time, let me ask you, are you a fool? It's worth me saying at this point that it's not the action of a fool to think, I wish I put into practice more of what Jesus said to me. To regret not doing that. That is actually, according to the Sermon on the Mount, the action of the blessed person. Do you remember 12 weeks ago, perhaps a bit more, how we started, how Jesus started his teaching in Matthew chapter 5? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who realize they're spiritually bankrupt. Blessed are those who realize that they are not, as often as they want to be, the wise builder. Blessed are those who mourn because of their sin. Why don't I pray that we would, with increasing frequency, be wise builders? And that if we are fools, God would show us, and we would mourn and grieve and be blessed. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, this is not hard teaching to understand, but we confess it's hard teaching to put into practice. And that's what you call us to do, and that's what we long to do, and we wish we did it more. Father, please, if we are fools, if we're building our lives without the foundation of hearing and doing what you say, please reveal that to us. Don't spare us that shock. We want that shock so we can change before the storm comes. And Father, I pray for those of us who are seeking, failing, longing, trying to put into practice what you say. Our Father, bless us as we struggle. Bless us as we mourn over our failure. Bless us as we mourn over the poverty of our spirit. And throw us once again back on your mercy and your grace. And make us, please, wise. Amen.